minutes at this point thinking about the theme of light. In many ways, it's an obvious thing to be talking about in this setting, isn't it? We've got all of these beautiful candles surrounding us, and well done to the kids for having the self-control not to run around blowing them out, or maybe well done to the parents for restraining them, I don't know. And of course, it's not just in here, is it? I mean, you go out there onto the streets of Sheffield, and it's not just street lamps and headlights that you'll see lighting up the evening, but the Christmas lights that adorn our shops and our houses, some, of course, more spectacularly than others. I bet you could all think of a house near you, and maybe it's your house, David Montague, where people have really gone crazy on the Christmas lights, with Santas and reindeers and snowmen and lights that flash or change colour, something like one of these. Anybody got a house like that somewhere near you? We all know the type, don't we? Now, of course, most of us haven't gone that far, I expect. But who has put up their Christmas tree and hung lights on it? Yeah, most of you. Great. What sort of lights have you got? Coloured ones? White ones? Yeah, good. And kids, do you like the lights? Do you like the Christmas lights?
Christmas tree lights.
You like the Christmas tree lights. That's good. Yeah, I'm getting more interaction than I really called for from my son. We all love the lights, don't we? The Christmas lights are part of the magic of Christmas, aren't they? But what I want to say this evening is that they're not just part of the magic of Christmas. The lights are part of the meaning of Christmas. Because the idea of a light shining in darkness helps us understand what Christmas, and in particular that first Christmas, is really all about. Do you remember those words from John's Gospel that Joy read for us a couple of minutes ago? Well, I just want to focus our attention on one verse, verse 9. It's on the screen. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. And I just want to draw out three things from that verse. Very simple, very straightforward. So, kids, I hope you'll be able to get it and remember them. But things that are also very profound, things with the power, I think, to transform not just your Christmas, but your whole life, whatever age you are. We're going to see that the light is true, the light is for everyone, and the light is here. And when I talk about the light, let me just say, just to make it absolutely clear, that I'm talking about Jesus. Because that's who John's talking about. Those words that Joy read are the introduction to John's Gospel, his story of the life of Jesus. And though he doesn't mention Jesus by name in those verses, it's clear who he's talking about. So really, you could rephrase each of those points as, Jesus is true, Jesus is for everyone, and Jesus is here. Kids, do you think you can remember those three things? Jesus is true, Jesus is for everyone, Jesus is here. It's not difficult, is it? Let's see how we get on. The first thing, the light, that is Jesus, is true. John describes Jesus, doesn't he, as the true light. That is, he's the real thing. He's the genuine article. That's partly because in verses 6 to 8, he's just been talking about this guy. This is a picture of John the Baptist. Some of you might have the children's Bible that has this picture in. John the Baptist was another John, and he came as a witness, to bear witness to the light. That is, to tell people about Jesus. But John was just a witness. He was just a messenger. Jesus is the true light. Now, to illustrate each of my three little points, I've got a different sort of light. And I want to get a volunteer, preferably somebody a little bit younger, to come out to the front and hold each sort for me. So the first sort of light is a torch. Here it is. Anybody be willing to come out and hold my torch? I've got a special job for you later, Jude, so we'll hold on for you. Maybe somebody from this half of the room. Jamie, brilliant. You come out to the front and you hold my torch for you. Isn't there a kids' program about Jamie and his magic torch? This is sort of strangely appropriate. Great, let's just talk about the torch for a minute or two. As Jamie holds it, look at it, think about it. What is a torch for? Well, I think a torch, it helps you find things, and it lights your way, doesn't it? Torches are, therefore, discovery and direction. You shine a torch in front of you, like this, you see, and it shows you where to go. This isn't a very bright torch, but it does the job. A couple of weeks ago, Lainey, my wife, and Lucas, my son, were taking our dog for a walk in the woods, only it was dark and, you know, they wouldn't be able to see where they were going until Lucas had the great idea of taking a torch. Be able to see where they were going, wouldn't they? And Jesus is a bit like a torch. As he himself says in John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You follow Jesus, and you will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus is a reliable guide to life. You can follow him and trust him. And Jesus is a reliable guide to life because he's a reliable guide to God. Because he is God. When John says that Jesus is the true light, it's bound up with all the stuff that he's already said in verse 1 and verse 4. In the beginning was the Word, that is Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In him was life, and that life is the light of men. Jesus is the light, he's the true light, the genuine and ultimate self-revelation of God to man. That means that you can't just dismiss Jesus as a myth, as part of some sort of religious festive fairy tale. He is the true light. He's the truth. And you know what? Sometimes life feels pretty dark, doesn't it? And you're just crying out for a bit of light. Kids, you're pretty young. You might not have experienced that yet. But as you look around you, you can see a room full of people who know that life can be dark. People for whom maybe just as they look back over the last year, they can see times of desperate darkness. The darkness of depression, of loneliness, of uncertainty, of doubt, of death. The sort of darkness that Joanna was speaking of earlier. Into that darkness, Jesus brings light. True light. Light that can be relied upon. That's the first point, the light is true. Jamie, thanks very much, you can go and sit down. Thanks for holding my torch, I'll take that. Here's the second point. The light is for everyone. The light is for everyone. We get that from the second phrase of our verse. So the true light, which enlightens everyone. And I've got another sort of light to illustrate it, and so I need another volunteer. But this light is a floodlight, and it's very bright, and it gets quite hot. So I might need somebody a little bit older and more responsible. Perhaps somebody in the church youth group. Oh, Mark Dobson. Yes, you'll do. Excellent. You've got responsibility written all over you, not literally. So as Mark comes out, let's just talk about this floodlight here. Right, if you just come to my right, Mark, because that's what side it's plugged in, or about to be plugged in. Okay, let's see what difference this makes. Yeah, just hold it up. Whoa. Okay, there we go. You might want to just point it at the ceiling or something so that the people aren't too dazzled. That's great. Now, one of the features of this big light is that it's bright enough to light up the whole room so that you can all see by its light. That's part of what John is saying about Jesus. He is, to refer to John 8 again, the light of the world. He's for everyone. That's great news, isn't it? If you feel like you're in the dark and you need some light, because Jesus is the light for you. You too, even if you've had no experience of Christianity, even if this is your first time in church, you can come out of the darkness and into the light, because Jesus is light for everyone. You can be saved from darkness and evil, you can be brought into the light. I'd love to talk with you afterwards, if you're interested in that, about what that might involve, what it might look like. I'm sure Tim or Joanna would be very happy to have those kind of conversations with you too. But of course, as well as being really good news, this is a little bit challenging, a little bit uncomfortable for us as well, isn't it? Because if Jesus is the light for everyone, he can't be dismissed as sort of just one of a number of religious options. You know, some people choose Jesus, some people choose Muhammad, some people choose Buddha, some people choose not to believe in God at all. If Jesus is the light for everyone, he's the light for you, whether you like it or not. If Jesus is the true light which enlightens everyone, it's not just that he's available to those who want him, it means that he's unavoidable to those who don't want him. I wonder if I could just ask Mark just to take your light over here, up close and personal to Tim and Steve and Louisa over here. Just shine it directly in their faces. Now, how does that feel? That feels pretty uncomfortable, I bet. Yeah, I'm getting nods. Mark, you can back off now. Let's not put them off too much. There is a good news, bad news thing going on with Jesus being the light. It's good news because sometimes life is dark and we need the light. But it's bad news because we don't really want the light. John puts it better than I could in chapter 3 of his book. I'm going to read a couple more verses. John 3, verses 19 and 20. The light has come into the world and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. See, Jesus is the true light. He's completely reliable. He's for everyone. He's universally available, but he's certainly not comfortable. He forces us to examine ourselves to see the ugly truth. He forces us to make a choice. Do we want to stick with our darkness, or do we want to come into the light? He asks you this Christmas to make that choice. But this isn't some sort of ultimatum laid down by a distant and demanding deity, because the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. Our third and final point is this. The light is here. So Mark, if you could pop that one down, and I'll unplug it. And I've got some volunteers primed on the front row, hopefully. Some of you guys can come out to the front and just sort of line up along here, and I want you to hold on to these. Now then, can anybody tell me what sort of lights these are? Just grab a part of the light, string of lights, and pick it up. Anybody who wants to, we've got plenty of scope here for you to stand. So, Jude, why don't you come to this end? You hold this. Iona and Lucas, you come in next to Jude. Just hold part of it so we're holding it all off the floor. Just spread yourselves out. Olivia, why don't you come down this end and be in charge at this end? So let's have everybody holding up some of the lights. Hannah, you can come in as well, yeah. And you too. Do you want you two? You guys squeeze in here. Just come under. Turn around. Just hold up the lights and look out at everybody else. There we go. Right, we've got a beautiful display of Christmas lights. The thing with Christmas lights, though, is that they don't really look very impressive. They're a reminder to us, aren't they, of the fact that the light has come into the world, that Jesus, the true light, was born into a world of darkness and evil, a world that would reject him, that would snuff out his light, that would try to take from him his life. See, the light shone in the darkness, and the darkness rejected it. But, thanks, Katie, the darkness didn't overcome it. It's good to have somebody with an eye on health and safety. Even though Jesus was nailed to a cross and killed, he rose from the dead, and he's alive today. He's ruling from heaven with God the Father, and he's here with us now by his Spirit. And I think the fact that Jesus would come into our world, as we remember by putting up these little lights, the fact that Jesus would come into our world shows us how much he must love us. He must love us very much indeed, mustn't he? And just look at this little row of lights held up by these little people. It doesn't look like very much, does it? It's kind of cute, but it's not very impressive. I mean, if we blew out all the candles, turned off all the other lights, these lights wouldn't even give us enough brightness to read by. And when he came into the world, Jesus really didn't look like much, did he? A baby in a manger? It hardly seems like much of a rescue plan. But these small lights, and that small child in the manger, represent hope. They represent hope for all people, for all time. They represent hope for you, tonight. I've got one more thing to show you. Kids, you can say that because you're doing a really good job. My new hobby for 2014, and some of you have already heard about this, is newspaper blackout poetry. What's that, I hear you ask? Well, what you do in this thing is you take a newspaper article and a black marker pen and you cross out most of the words until you're left with something interesting, maybe something a bit profound, probably something unrelated to the original article you were working from. And in the last few weeks, as in the build-up to Christmas, I've been looking for hints of Christmas in non-Christmassy news stories. So finding little words or phrases that might relate to Christmas, crossing out the rest of it, and being left with something Christmassy. Almost like sort of lights in the darkness. So here's something I came up with the other day. This was in an article about a baby that had been abandoned in Australia. A really tragic article. And yet, if you cross out some of the words, you end up with, hands down, Olivia, a newborn baby in a stable on a quest. That's Christmas. A newborn baby in a stable looks like nothing very spectacular, but on a quest, on a mission to rescue a world. Jesus is a baby on a quest, a man who was God on a mission. As we're going to sing in a minute, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings, mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth. And don't we all want to, with those herald angels, sing glory to the newborn king? Thank you very much for listening. Hope you have a very Merry Christmas. We're going to finish by singing a couple of carols. We're going to sing O Little Town of Bethlehem first, and then we're going to sing Hark the Herald Angels, I believe. Thanks.